We're good. Okay, so question number one is just to tell about who you are, where you come from.
So my name is Jacob Carroll. I'm a junior right now at Madison West High School. I'm very interested in politics. That's really where I want to go, hopefully as a career of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been really interested in politics. I guess at one point in like seventh grade, my teacher told me I can't write any more about George Bush because it was just, I had to stop writing about why I didn't like him.
Uh-huh.
And then in ninth grade, my first 2 months of high school, I spent the whole time, all my free time at the Obama Campaign for Change trying to get him elected, which was really fun. And it was a lot of work, but it was really fun. This is like, you know, here I am in high school, I'm running cross country, and then I'm running straight from practice over to the Obama campaign, doing my homework while calling people on the phone to try and convince them. It was really fun. And then, let's see, you know, sophomore year, I ran in the West Student Council, just sort of another political event, for president. And so then junior year this year, I'm president of the student council. And junior year, a lot of other political stuff happened, obviously, which is why we're here.
Yeah.
Governor Walker was elected. The summer before my junior year, actually, I campaigned pretty heavily for Senator Russ Feingold against Ron Johnson. Unfortunately, he lost. But it was a really good experience, though. I met a lot of people. Actually, one of my boss at the Obama campaign now works in the executive office of the president, which is really cool.
Very cool.
Just been really interested in politics. So I guess I'm getting off topic here.
Nope.
But, you know, I guess other than politics, I like seeing my friends and running. I think politics is my real focus. I really want to be want to go into politics. And this whole, all of these last events have really just sort of cemented that.
Wow. Go into them as far as running for office?
Possibly, yeah. I've been thinking about a lot of different things. I kind of want to be a pollster because I think it'd be really fun to sort of analyze things sort of a little bit more mathematical. But maybe running for office someday.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I'd vote.
Thank you.
Your button. Look up for president.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So can you talk about how you were involved in the demonstrations?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So, I mean, West has always been a very, very liberal group of school. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of Republicans who are like openly Republican at West, and one of them is mostly a Republican to mess with me.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, one of my friends. So I guess when we heard about Governor Walker's budget, the teachers actually, they, after school on Tuesday, I think it would have been February 15th because Monday was Valentine's Day. On Tuesday, all the teachers went, and it was mainly the English department. They're sort of the activists of West, and they all were extremely upset all day. And everybody knew sort of the underlying problems. People had heard about, you know, Walker's budget, but you sort of hear about Walker's budget like the first we heard about it was sort of, we heard about it like we hear about, you know, the earthquake in Japan or the tornadoes that have just been happening in the Midwest. It was just another horrible news story to us.
Right.
Not to compare it to the earthquake, but we just heard about it as a news story.
Right.
And when our teachers got very upset, I think it sort of, I wouldn't say that they encouraged anyone to protest at all, but I would say that it made people realize the problems. The underlying factors and how important this really was affecting everyone. Next, we so actually I was with the Winter Running Club that day, and we ran down there to the Capitol on Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
It was like a group of me and six people, and we ran into all our teachers, said hi to them, everybody. And the mood that day was just sad. I mean, it seemed like, as my cross country coach would say, it's like someone shot their puppy. Like, everybody was just crushed. You know, I mean, that day, it looked like Walker was just going to pass this budget repair bill. It looked like, I guess I should say the legislature.
Yeah.
And it looked like there was no hope. It looked like you know, everything was going to go down the drain for public education and public employees everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was really upset.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So then the next day, there was everybody knew about it. Everybody was upset.
Mm-hmm.
There was sort of talk of student walkouts. We had had a student walkout earlier this year about a minor curriculum change. At this
mm-hmm.
point, that's completely meaningless because we don't have any money to change anything.
Yeah.
But
right.
We had had a student walkout that was very successful, but was big enough that the AP actually picked up the story. It was it was this big deal. You know, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel covered this.
Mm-hmm.
Just this one high school in Madison. But now, you know, this was something bigger, and people really were like, we need to walk out again.
Mm-hmm.
So they scheduled a walkout for 10 a.m. on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But during eighth hour, the last hour of school on Wednesday, everybody was given a letter explaining what would happen if all the teachers were to strike. And to me, I would actually not realize that the teachers were planning on striking. And they actually, they officially were not going to strike because that would be considered job action. They were going to sick out, where large numbers would, you know, organized amounts would call in sick to the point that there wouldn't be enough teachers to run school.
Yeah.
And so we get this letter from the district on Wednesday outlining what would happen on Thursday, basically saying MSCR staff, which I don't know when this will be listened to, but MSCR is this, it's a program, you might know better than me.
Sure.
It's Madison Community Recreation something. Yeah. And School Recreation or something. Oh, Madison School of Community Recreation.
Yeah.
And it's just like a group, often like they're like college students or younger people who aren't really like trained educators or anything, but they're there to sort of, I think they're more like camp counselors a lot of the time, sort of.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
And so it sort of talked about how if there wasn't enough staff, we'd all be sort of in an auditorium all day with MSCR staff, which everybody was like, this is just going to be the most ridiculous day of school ever.
Yes.
But, I actually on Wednesday I went to Midrashah, which was the Jewish Hebrew high school here, and halfway through we were going to this presentation, and halfway through someone stood up and said, "There's no school tomorrow," and of course he only meant the Madison schools, but everybody was was like, "Oh my God!" So instead of going home, I called my parents and I said, you know, they'd already told me I could go on the walkout if there was school, which you know is. You know, I'm essentially walking out of class, which I've never done before. I'm not someone who skips class.
Right.
But they said they would, you know, excuse me or whatever, and I could walk out of class.
Mm-hmm.
Along with what appeared to be the entire school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they had the first walkout, the curriculum walkout, it was like 600 people. There were already, people were already talking that there would be 1,000 people at this one. And the, and when they found out there was no school, when I found out there was no school, I went straight from Midrashah with my younger brother, and we both went to Walgreens and spent like $50 on poster board and markers and everything you can imagine for protesting materials. And we ended up staying up until like 2 a.m. painting. Like we went over to Cops and we got all their cardboard boxes and we painted them all.
Uh-huh.
And we made like 50 signs.
Mm-hmm.
The next morning, you know, the walkout, there was like a million messages on Facebook sort of telling people, you know, the walkout is still on, be at West at 10. If you can't make it, you know, here's where you can go. People can give you rides. It was very organized.
Mm-hmm.
And I should give credit to some of the walkout organizers, Jacob Fixel, who is a senior this year, has been organizing portions of it. And a lot of people from Memorial, including Meredith Paker, Teague Walshfels for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Just a lot of students who really stood up and said that this wasn't okay. And as it turns out, everybody met at West because it's closer to the Capitol at 10, and no one was really sure who was going to show up. I mean, usually, you know, if there's a snow day, people don't do anything about school. So no one, and this is the first time in something like 16 years we'd ever had a teacher strike or job action, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess no one knew how many people were going to show up. You know, I'd sort of talked to the organizers. I printed up these little cards that just said, you know, here are the quick facts so that if you get interviewed, you know what you're saying. Because
mm-hmm.
there was an interview with East High School. Wednesday, there was a walkout at East High School with these two students who were like, we don't know why we're here, but we didn't want to be in class. And that made it onto YouTube and made it onto some conservative websites. And so we wanted to make clear, we wanted to, first of all, make it clear that West stood with our teachers, and that despite two members of East High School, the Madison schools know what they're talking about, the Madison students know what they're talking about,
mm-hmm.
and there are reasons for us being here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not just, I guess, I don't want to say we're ammunition for the conservative
mm-hmm.
side.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, I passed out this little, you know, here's what's going to happen, you know, he's trying to cut
mm-hmm.
something like, you know, all the different numbers and percentages, and honestly, they've changed a few times, and as it turned out, the only thing that passed, we'll talk about, but obviously
yeah.
the only thing that passed was the collective bargaining, so the money didn't matter,
mm-hmm.
which is what the teachers have been saying all along.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we get there, I got there 20 minutes early, and there are already 300, 400 people there. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I'm sure I'll become the first one, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I'll have all these signs, you know, whatever. Like, I'll see some of the organizers. Because I'm seen as one of the more political people at West,
uh-huh.
and so people know who I am. Like,
yeah.
people always are talking to me about when the walkout is.
Right.
When
right.
everything is. So a lot of people, I guess, thought I was sort of organizing it, although I wouldn't
sure.
say I really organized all of it,
mm-hmm.
or all very much of it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say I just sort of was a figure there.
Supported.
But
mm-hmm.
supported, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, by the time it was 10 a.m., or, yeah, I think it was 10 a.m., there were over 1,000 people there. I mean, by
wow.
best estimates, I think there were a couple members of the press there. There were some of the West people in the photography classes had brought some of their nicer cameras, and there were pictures
mm-hmm.
all over. Jacob Fixel had a bullhorn, which he
mm-hmm.
used to sort of tell everybody what's going on, make it very clear where we're going, what we're doing. And then we walked Memorial and West together. There were a few people who walked out of Middleton despite Middleton actually having class.
Yeah.
you know, everybody had a sign. Everybody had brought extra signs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had brought all of those that I had. So we had lots of stuff. We ended up walking
yeah.
and... Do you need more paper?
Nope,
maybe?
I got it.
Okay. I didn't want to keep talking and have
right.
it get behind.
No problem.
So we would walk, and you know, obviously this happened a lot now. There
mm-hmm.
were 4 days straight of this.
Yeah.
School did not resume until Tuesday. So we had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. All where we didn't have school.
Yeah.
It was really some. Actually, I don't think we had school. Oh no, we didn't have. We did have school Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really incredible. I was there every day except for Sunday. I couldn't make it because I had to get some work done, because not only did I work at Temple, but
mm-hmm.
I'm in this online class, which is a long story, which
okay.
is really not a worthwhile class. But
okay.
the point is that it continued because it's not through the district.
Right.
So I had to keep working on that. But on Thursday night, actually, before we knew that school was going to be canceled, first of all, Thursday all day I was at the
mm-hmm.
Capitol. And then Thursday night I called my parents, and we were all hanging out at this restaurant. It was like a big group of us. And you know, there were people everywhere. I called my parents, and even though school had not been canceled yet, they allowed me to sleep over at the Capitol. They said, you know, we think this is really important, and
mm-hmm.
it took a lot of convincing. I talked to them. I mentioned
mm-hmm.
that, talked to my mom about how when she was in high school, she rode a bus to a rock concert, and I was like, so mom, look at what I'm doing. You know, this is what I love to do is
yeah.
political, you know,
right
thing, so maybe you would let
mm-hmm.
me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And they allowed me to. So
mm-hmm.
you know, my dad dropped off like a sleeping bag, and we had a bunch of food, and you know, we stayed all night in the Capitol. I didn't sleep at all. Actually, let me go back a little bit to the day.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem.
The whole day, the tone really changed, I felt like. It was much more upbeat because that was the day the senators left.
Right.
The Democratic 14 went to Illinois and at that point it was an undisclosed location.
Yes.
Which was really cool, you know.
Yes.
That they're willing to stand up for their rights as the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to note, you know, people got really mad at them for doing that. You know, they're not doing their job. You know, my friend Jeff, the conservative, would always say, oh, you know, they're slacking, they're not doing their job. And, you know, we went into every single one of their offices one of the days. And honestly, I don't remember which day.
Mm-hmm.
All their aides were there. Mm-hmm. All their aides were working and in constant communication with them. They're sitting in their hotel rooms with people they don't know very well, working.
Mm-hmm.
I read this article on the Huffington Post about, you know, which, you know, is anything but objective, but still, I read this thing on the Huffington Post about what happened when the Texas state legislature did the same thing, the Democrats there.
Yeah.
And they just talked about sort of how bad it was. They had a woman who had gone through it and just talked about how, you know, it's so difficult. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have the longest serving state legislator in the country, Fred Risser, and we had Julie Lassa was pregnant. I mean, these are not people who are like 25, you know, 25-year-old college students who can just do whatever they want.
Sure.
So it was impressive. And I also would like to reiterate that this is the same thing as in the National Senate when they filibuster. It's just the measure that they have. And that's what I've been trying to tell people, you know. As much as it seems ridiculous that they're basically leaving their jobs, it's just their only way of stopping a bill that's really, really bad.
Right.
And it was, you know, in both cases, there are trade-offs. You know, it's a horrible thing. I mean, who wants to continue talking in a relay race, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And who wants to not be able to see your home or not really see your family very much for, you know, as long as it is? But I support them. I felt like that was a really important thing for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on Wednesday we saw a Mark Miller shirt, and we honestly didn't know. We knew who he was, but I was just like, oh, okay, Mark Miller. You know, it didn't make the connection that he is the minority leader.
Mm-hmm.
He was just sort of, oh, Mark Miller. You know, that guy's good. I didn't really remember too much about him, because I focus mostly on national politics. But by Thursday, everybody knew Mark Miller. Everybody knew John Erpenbach. Everybody knew, you know, Fred Risser, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, they were heroes.
Right.
Lena Taylor. And so we, it was crazy. You know, everybody was there. It was insane. There were everybody had a sign walking around the Capitol. In the Capitol, screaming, the rotunda had a drum circle. I mean, they were dancing. I mean, I remember this was on Thursday night, because it was the night we slept over and we put our stuff somewhere, and we were all, for like a minute we hesitated. We were like, oh, we should leave someone in here in case something gets stolen. And then we sort of paused and we're like, you know what? It's not going to happen. You know, this isn't a rock concert. This isn't sort of, no one here would steal anything.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that sounds a little naive or very sort of hippie-ish, but it wasn't sort of idealistic, I don't think. I think it was really just the atmosphere.
Right.
And another thing I should mention is there were police officers everywhere, and every single one of them was extremely thoughtful and helpful and always nice to us, and it seemed like they were really on our side, because they probably were. you know, everywhere we'd go, we'd just thank them, you know.
Oh,
and, you know, they were coming from all over. Remember, I saw this one guy, you know, I basically, it was me and one of my friends, we basically paced around the whole Capitol all night, figuring out where everything was. And we saw this one guy who was just up patrolling all night, sort of standing by the Supreme Court. And every time I'd just say, you know, good morning or good night or whatever it was at that point.
Yeah.
And it was just nice, you know, like it was sort of good to see the good, you know, the sort of, you know, I think a lot of the times when you have sort of your, you know, in the 60s, the protests were very against the man, and that was something I was really, I can't stand. I'm not someone who's sort of, I don't think of myself as idealistic. You know, you can't just be against everything, you have to be for something. Right. And so it was really nice to see that we're on the authority side. You know, we're not, we're not law, we're law abiding, we're honest, we're thought, we're thoughtful, and they recognize this. You know, I mean, even the Fox Business reporter, Jeff Flock, who I ended up talking to and getting interviewed by, he there's a video on YouTube of him doing a live report from in the middle of a crowd, and there's one guy behind him who's holding up a sign that says Fox News will lie about this, who's just screaming, Fox lies, Fox lies. And no one else is really joining it. And it's really incredible to see how this one guy is such immediately taken out of the protest. You know, now he's just seen as this one guy. And Mr. Flock actually says that in his interview. If you listen to what he says, you know, apart from this one guy behind me, these are a bunch of thoughtful, honest protesters. And it's really nice to hear because, you know, honestly, living in Madison, you hear a lot about how dishonest Fox is.
Yes.
This is Fox Business, not Fox News. I should make the distinction.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was really good to sort of hear the good side of it. So I'm getting off topic, I think. But let's see.
You had said that over the course of the day that
the mood
had changed. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think on Tuesday it looked like it was inevitable and that we could protest against Governor Walker, but we couldn't really stop him.
Mm-hmm.
And on Wednesday, first of all, the national press, or well, let me think. Wednesday was sort of a transition day. Honestly, I don't know too much. I got there after school on Wednesday for a little bit before I had to go to Midrashah. But Thursday was where everybody had changed. National media was there. This was considered a grassroots protest. Everybody knew it was nonviolent. Everybody knew where they were doing, and the Democratic 14 had left. Suddenly there was a window of opportunity. It couldn't just be jammed through. There had to be hearings. And one thing I haven't mentioned yet, which I thought was one of the coolest parts of the entire thing that was never mentioned, it seemed like, is in room 538 Northwest. I still remember the number because I was screaming it all the time.
Room 548.
538 Northwest.
538 Northwest. Okay.
It was where the assembly was holding testimonies, and that was the way the Capitol stayed open. You know, people always wondered. You know, what were the rules about that?
Right.
And, you know, at one point they closed them, and you know, hence the.
Yeah.
That's the second protest, though. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm getting all sidetracked.
That's okay.
But the Assembly Democrats, after the Senate Democrats left, knew that they had to keep the Capitol open to keep sort of the public able to stay in the Capitol and have this continue to be in the forefront of, hopefully, Governor Walker's mind, so that he understood that there was a large portion of Wisconsin that was really not supporting him, and that there were people supporting the Democratic 14. The Assembly Democrats held testimony, which is just open hearings. Any citizen could register for or against any bill that was currently being debated in the legislature. In this case, the only bill that was really ever debated was SB 11, Senate Bill 11, which was, of course, what Walker called the budget repair bill. I think it's really just SB 11. I feel like that's a more honest name because it doesn't take either side. But and so they had testimony where you could sign up, and this started on Tuesday and went for, I think it was 70, it went for almost 80 hours straight. It was a marathon. It was insane. And you could speak for they asked for about 2 minutes. Some people spoke for a little longer. Some people spoke for just a minute and just cried. These are all online too, in a website that will probably be cut by Walker's budget, ironically. Actually, I'm not 100% sure that that's actually covered by Open Records, but it's on Wisconsin Eye, WISEYE.org, and these are testimonies of ordinary citizens against or for the bill, and realistically every single person registered against, because there really wasn't any counter protest at this point. You know, you would sit there, and there would be an assembly Democrat sitting there holding the hearing, and no assembly Republican showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there were two, sometimes there was one. There was a clerk and an assembly Democrat and 30 people around a table and like 20 people on the outside. And it was just, you had to, there were sort of rules, you know, you had to be silent. You had to really listen to these people. And it was really moving. And you had to never interrupt them. You know, you walked in after people were done. And it was really moving to be in the room. You know, it's not a big room. You know, here you are with... I would guess there's only about 30 people in the whole room. Although they ran out of chairs, people were just sort of sitting on the ground. I mean, there were maybe a little more. But, you know, it's pretty incredible to hear a completely silent, completely alert, completely awake room.
Yeah.
Where one person is talking to a camera for 2 minutes and just bawling their eyes out and really speaking from the heart.
Wow.
I finally testified at 2:32 a.m. I remember it because I was going to try and look it up later.
Yeah.
And I registered against the bill. So this would have been Friday morning then. And it was just, I registered in front of Representative Malepsky, who, you know, just sort of let everybody speak. People said really thoughtful comments. I mean, there were people who just, you know, there was one woman in a wheelchair who was crying and basically said, you know, there's no way I can work. The only thing that's really helping me right now is Badger Care, which of course Governor Walker is trying to decimate.
Right.
You know, why would you take that away from me? I've never done anything. I've worked, I've, you know, lived in the state my whole life. I love Wisconsin, but I don't think I could live here. There were other people who just talked about, you know, why they're there, who they're supporting. It was really moving to hear. I mean, some people had really deep, insightful comments, and you know, it was really amazing to hear how everybody came together to sort of say why they were there. And you know, that was the reason the Capitol was kept open. It only I should explain the connection. In the Wisconsin Constitution, it says that it is an open, honestly, I don't know the exact words, but it's basically an open building for protest, part of sort of a First Amendment right, and should be open if there's any meeting that's soliciting public public comments. And so because this was a meeting soliciting public comments, regardless of how long it went, it was, it kept the Capitol open. So at one point around, I think it was around 12:30, we went down to the drum circle, which was a little bit more like, it seemed more like hippies. And, you know, people who were more just like really into the protest thing. And, you know, I'm into protesting, don't get me wrong, but I'm also, I really want to make sure that I know why I'm protesting and what I'm there for, and really want to make sure I know what I'm doing.
Right.
So we went down the drum circle and we were like, hey, we really need people to protest. You know, you guys have the mic. Want to just yell it out to everybody.
Right.
And they were like, oh, we don't even really know what's going on. You know, it's there's always, you know, there's sort of, you know, with any protest, it's hard to always, any sort of movement, everybody's on a little bit of a different page. No one's exactly sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, I grab the mic and at like 12:30, I'm yelling to the whole rotunda.
That's cool.
Everybody, we need to go to 538 Northwest.
Uh-huh.
528, honestly, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, but it was really cool to have everybody go. Now let's see, we I stayed up all night. I keep saying this. It was, you know, I was exhausted the next day.
Yeah.
I went home. School was canceled. We found out around 11:40 or something that school was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So I was originally going to wake up and then walk directly to school because, and then walk out at 10 because everybody knew there wasn't really going to be school.
Yeah.
But school was canceled for the second straight day. on Friday, and so I went home around 8:30, drove home,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and got an hour of sleep, and then grabbed some, like, I don't even remember, like, some gross breakfast, and walked back to West for the next protest. And we walked by, you know, we continued. I'm like, ah, tell me what democracy looks like just so out, like, so tired, but just had to keep going.
Uh-huh.
And I think part of it is that, you know, this is really something I have a passion for, and that really helped me sort of keep going. I think, you know, there's something about sort of, this is what you've really wanted to do your whole life. You know, I really have always wanted to be a political person.
Yeah.
And it, you know, finally we got to sort of take center stage.
Yeah.
So, it was amazing to
mm-hmm.
see everybody. Again, the crowd was just as big on Friday as it was on Thursday. And I should mention, when we're walking to the Capitol, it's a march. I mean, it's cool. I mean, I think Teague actually brought like a stop, like a little like stop arrow.
Oh,
and he would he would sort of block traffic because, you know, we took up more than one light cycle, but nobody cared. Everybody was just honking like the dun 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 dun, dun, which is,
oh, cool.
You know, tell me what democracy looks like.
And what's the response to that?
This is what democracy looks like.
Okay.
It's sort of a populist.
Yeah.
And then there's always, you know, recall walk or you know, there's a lot of, you know, chants like that.
Right.
But it was really cool to be there, because, you know, we'd go by and we'd be like holding our signs, and, you know, bus drivers, average worker, you know, just your average car, you know, the, from the nicest cars to the, looked like they were gonna fall off the road cars. You know, I mean, it really transcended any sort of socioeconomic type thing. It was really, it was about the city coming together against the state.
Yeah.
And in large portions, other portions of the state coming against Governor Walker, which was really cool. Now on Saturday, there was talk that the Tea Party was gonna show up. And everybody was like, oh my God, you know, what are we gonna do? And by Sunday, everybody was laughing. I mean, there were like, you know, the Department of Administration, which is a partisan organization in charge of the Capitol, estimated the crowds extremely low. And then there would be the Madison Police Department, which I would argue is pretty subjective. I mean, they're the police. They are from Madison, and the Madison Police Chief eventually actually reprimanded Governor Walker, but to some degree they were pretty, you know, if you took an average of the two numbers, you would see about 70,000 people on that Saturday. And I think most people would estimate the Tea Party people at under 2,000. It was overwhelming how few people showed up to support him versus how many people showed up to be against him. Also, it's worth noting, though, we're learning about him. I'm sorry, I'm going so off task.
Go ahead.
In my AP U.S. Government and Politics class, one thing that always came up was the fact that political participation has gone up while voting has gone down, and which is a really interesting paradox. But it's worth noting that on the Tuesday that all of this started, which was February 15th, there was a primary election, and Prosser, who used to work as a Republican in the state legislature and has admitted, his state whose chief of staff said he would act as a complement to Governor Walker, won by an overwhelming support in the primary. He had over 50% of the vote. The next closest candidate, which was Joanne Kloppenburg, whose daughter I actually goes to Bethel.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I guess her whole family does, but her daughter goes to West, and she was in my Sunday school class like 10 years ago. She got the second one, and so then there was, you know, the general or whatever between them, but it wasn't even close. And so it's worth pointing out that the day that lots of people showed up to protest, less than 1 in 4 of Wisconsinites voted for that election, which is pretty bad. But, you know, regardless, we persevered. On Saturday, the tea party, quote unquote, showed up.
Yeah.
Nobody really listened to him. We talked to one group of people, and who admitted that they were from North Dakota and had driven all the way here.
Wow.
And they made fun of us. They were like, well, at least we made our own signs. And I was like, well, sorry, I didn't make my own sign. I've been sleeping at the Capitol.
Yeah.
And they sort of paused. And then we sort of got into a real issue debate,
mm-hmm.
where they sort of argued that the public sector unions are really controlled by union bosses who are sort of against the taxpayers. And I guess one thing I reminded them was that, A, Reagan was a union boss at one point.
Mm-hmm.
B, the union bosses and all of the union members are taxpayers too. And to say that every union boss is corrupt,
mm-hmm.
is not accurate. And I think even if they, you know, I think you can go back to the Federalist Papers, you know.
Right.
How do you control the different factions of people trying to go against each other? Well, you pin them against each other to
mm-hmm.
create a more fair system. That's
mm-hmm.
why we have a complete free speech, and that's why we have so many interest groups.
Right.
Well, if the unions are corrupt, then you better pin them against the other groups. But if the other groups are corrupt and they're trying to take away all
mm-hmm.
sorts of rights, when really we don't have a decent living wage in America
mm-hmm.
for a large portion of people, then maybe the unions need to be stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess to me it just seemed completely irrelevant to start talking about the money. And
yeah.
I think that was one of the best signs, was it's not about the money.
Right.
It's about the rights.
Yeah.
Because Mary Bell, the president of WEAC, and all of the major unions, AFSCME included, admitted that they would just, or conceded all of the money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
MTI,
mm-hmm.
which is the Madison Teachers Union, said, fine, you know, you can have the
yeah.
$5,000 salary cut. We will take the money if we are allowed to collectively bargain in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can save your little budget if you let us have the collective bargaining right. And that's when you knew it lost its fiscal pretense.
Mm-hmm.
That Governor Walker refused to sort of go through that.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of the most idealistic things in the bill that wasn't willing to be cut out, and it was just, it
yeah.
made it much more radical mm-hmm. and much more unrealistic.
And he was refusing to even...
He refused to even speak to him.
Yeah.
Although, I guess now I'll bring up this.
Okay.
Although he did speak to a member of the Buffalo Beast, which I guess is a website,
oh.
who pretended to be David Cope.
Oh, right.
you know, everybody's heard about that now. You know, everybody knows that he admitted that he thought about putting in people to rile up the crowd and sort of
mm-hmm.
act like crazy people who were union members.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think one of my favorite parts was done, where the Madison mayor and the Madison police chief went up and said, hey, if you're going to, you know, how could you think of advocating violence in my
mm-hmm.
city? How
mm-hmm.
could you think of advocating violence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the police chief basically said, my job is to protect the safety of Madison, and you have put that in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
as the governor, that is simply unacceptable, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And I felt like that was one of the smartest moves, where it just sort of illustrated the their unwillingness to sort of compromise and their unwillingness to sort of
mm-hmm.
their lack of reasonability. Is that a word? Rationality.
Yeah.
I guess I should say. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
I guess that's where I would next talk about. But
mm-hmm.
trying to think of other things. I you know, somewhere along those few days, honestly, I don't know. I think it was the night I stayed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a huge group of us in this little square, and we're all just kind of hanging out. It's like a campfire setting
mm-hmm.
Inside the Capitol. We all wrote little speeches, and so I guess
yeah.
if it's all right with you, I'll give my
yeah,
speech.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I ended up posting the text of this speech. I'm just going to put it in the...
Yeah.
The text of the speech on Michael Moore's high school newspaper, which is a website that Michael Moore, the
mm-hmm.
pretty controversial liberal
right.
Documentary maker. He made a website about sort of the youth and how they're standing up. And also, one thing this just reminded me, this is separate, but the
mm-hmm.
youth sort of standing up for rights.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really want to talk about is, speaking of youth standing up for rights, there were a lot of comparisons to Egypt. This was right after Mubarak had fallen, and those really bothered me. Because we are not Egypt. We are we're a democracy. He was democratically elected. He's not Hosni Mubarak. He's not Hitler. You know, and so I think whenever someone compared it to Egypt, they really lost their credibility. But the amount of people who compared it to Egypt paled in comparison to the amount of honest, hardworking people who were either missing work or went after work, you know, after working all day to just say, you know, this is unacceptable. So I guess this is why I support unions. I'm just going to read my speech. This is the adapted version that I gave to the Michael Moore website. My name is Jacob Carroll, and I'm writing this from the Madison Capitol building. I stand here today with a lot of people and with a lot of reasons. I stand with my brother who is 14 years old. Now right now he isn't laying asphalt on I-94, and for the child labor laws protecting him, I thank the union. I stand with my mother who has an incurable chronic illness, but she has health care, and for her benefits, I thank the union. I stand with my father who is a public employee, but he has a good education and is compensated for his hard work. And for our family's prosperity, I thank the union, the teachers' union, who not only stood for educators, but for his education. Now I stand with all of you here today to fight for unions, and I will keep fighting until this bill is tabled. Now I want to point out that that government vocabulary word was taught to me by a wonderful teacher. I stand with my allies, I mean you, the readers, when I say that. We can fight for you. We can fight for union rights, and we will fight for union rights, because we can stand together. So it was short, but that was just sort of...
And you said you did or you didn't give this speech when you were up at the microphone for your 2 minutes?
I wrote another one that I gave there.
Okay.
I gave this one... I gave this one to all my friends.
Okay.
We all sort of shared our speeches, and I wrote this one, and I was going to give it again another time, and I never really found a good time. It just didn't seem like the right setting. But I did later give speeches. We did later give speeches sort of in front of the whole rotunda, which is really cool. I think I spoke like 3 or 4 times in front of everyone, which was really, it was meaningful, I felt like. Throughout the whole thing, I spoke to people on both sides. I spoke to a bunch of reporters also. At one point, a group of me and my more political friends decided to seek out reporters, not because we really cared about like our names or like, oh, you know, we can be famous. It was more because we felt like we knew about the issues, and we didn't want all the students to come off as like just students who were told there to be there by their teachers, which is what was asserted on Fox and Friends.
Right.
The show, Fox, not just to make fun of them.
Okay.
But, so we sought out multiple groups. We ended up getting interviewed live on Fox Business. Because I'd met the guy a week ago, and I emailed the guy and basically said, you know, I'm really interested in this, you know, I feel like I could represent sort of a different group that I hope you'd like to represent, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he agreed, so we got interviewed live on this Fox Business, and that was the first time we heard that they were thinking of stripping all of the fiscal parts of the bill out to pass just the collective bargaining. The reporter told it to us about 2 minutes before we were going to go on the air. He was like, okay, so I'm going to ask you guys about this. And we're like, okay, boom, come up with something. And one of the guys I was with, Ari Pollack, he goes to Beth Israel.
Okay.
But Ari Pollack, he made it very clear. You know, he said, I think we all sort of were thinking it, but he said it the best. He was like, it lost its fiscal pretense, you know, right here. So I guess I should just specify what this is, because you know, this is so long ago.
Right.
So they needed 20 senators as a quorum to vote on the bill if it had any fiscal elements to it.
Right.
However, they only needed 17, just like a bare majority or just a smaller number, to vote on the bill if it didn't have anything fiscal in it.
Right.
And so, despite it being a budget repair bill, which means it's inherently fiscal, if you ask me, they were arguing it wasn't fiscal if they only did the collective bargaining part of it, which seems to really contradict itself because, you know, how can you save the budget by passing something that you're arguing isn't fiscal?
Right.
Isn't at all budgetary.
Right.
I felt like that really illustrated the partisanship. And it actually was a few days after this that this actually happened. But at 4 p.m. on about 2 weeks later, at this point we'd all gone back to school. You know, we would go down there, and track had started for me, so I couldn't run there after school every day.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point we were going down. You know, the governor's budget was released. We ran down that day, and then sort of track started, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That was that Tuesday, and then the next Monday track started.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it limited me. I couldn't go down every day.
Mm-hmm.
But every Saturday we were there. We were screaming. most Sundays... You know, it was something to see.
Mm-hmm.
Something I should mention, I guess, before we go into the sort of the second
mm-hmm.
part of it is one person I got to know really well, her name was Maddie, and we ended up, and now I'm going out with her. I knew her before, but through
mm-hmm.
the protests, that's where I really got to know her.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that's where I got to know my girlfriend, was at the protests.
That's cute.
Because she actually goes to Memorial, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
And isn't Teague's girlfriend Maddie too?
Yeah, different.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Her name is Maddie Crawford.
Okay.
C-R-A...
Crawford.
Oh, W-F-O-R-D. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, so...
Uh-oh.
No, different person.
Okay.
Now, let's see. So, but let's go back.
Okay.
So then, we were going to school, and every day, everybody knew what was going on, and... Teachers were really good about not making it political. I mean, I saw a lot of my teachers down there outside of school hours, which I
mm-hmm.
completely appreciated. You know, I thank them so much. They thanked me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just sort of moving to see. But then during school, you know, even though because I saw them, I knew their political views, they never really shared them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool to see how they were able to really, you know, I mean, they were so upset. I remember my government teacher at one point said, she's like, she has a 2-year-old at home, and she was like, I'm done with this. I'm spending all Sunday in Portage. I'm getting those signatures to recall him. And, you know, she said this to me sort of separate from the class because you really, you know, it was amazing how they censored themselves, you know.
Sure.
Students did not. We were very loud about how much we hated what was going on. And, you know, at one point, it was, you know, we were just, it was what everybody was talking about.
Yeah.
Somehow every discussion came back to that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. So then, you know, 2 weeks later, I get this, you know, I get all these news, you know,
mm-hmm.
emails or whatever, and I get one that says, you know, breaking news. Scott Fitzgerald, actually it was Jeff Fitzgerald,
mm-hmm.
two Fitzgerald brothers are both in charge of the legislature, which if you ask me reeks of corruption,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, you know, I guess same thing Kennedy did, but
right.
they Jeff Fitzgerald went on Fox News at 4 and admitted, honestly I don't have the exact quote, but basically
mm-hmm.
he said if we're able to weaken the unions, and there's not so much money under the auspices of the unions that tend to donate to Barack Obama, I think we have a better chance in 2012. He admitted, basically, that this was to weaken the unions for a partisan maneuver so that they could strengthen their own party in 2012. Because if you look at the top, you know, another moving part was when Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz came to Madison
mm-hmm.
and gave their speeches, and you know, I got Ed Schultz's autograph.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to a long time with John Nichols of The Nation,
mm-hmm.
who's here.
Cool.
One of the really cool parts was Rachel Maddow did this amazing segment where she explained you know, it was a Friday, and the segment was called Thank Wisconsin, It's Friday. She talked about, you know, the union started in Wisconsin, the unions are from Wisconsin, for Wisconsin, there are 6 different cities in Wisconsin named Union.
Yeah.
You know, they're a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
They've stood for very important things over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin has always been progressive in,
mm-hmm.
in that. And so I guess she, what am I trying to say? She made it very clear by talking about the top 10 campaign donors before the Citizens United Supreme Court decision and after the Citizens United
mm-hmm.
decision, which of course allowed a lot more campaign contributions from
right.
Corporations. And basically, it used to be pretty even, unions to Democrats and corporations to Republicans. And after Citizens United, there were 2 unions in the top 10. And granted, they were the top 2,
mm-hmm.
but those were the only 2 in the top 10. The only 2 donating to Democratic candidates were the top 2, which were the 2 unions.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both public employee unions. They
mm-hmm.
were the Service Employees Industrial Union and the American Federation of State, Federal, and County Workers, AFSCME. And so it was, you know, it put it into perspective. It was
mm-hmm.
a partisan maneuver. And
mm-hmm.
eventually Jeff Fitzgerald admitted it was. You know, he said it's to weaken the unions to
mm-hmm.
beat Obama in 2012. And that's just, I mean, I think that's reprehensible.
Yeah.
You can always, you know, I am always upset, I think, when a political party I disagree with goes in the wrong direction. But
mm-hmm.
when you start to do things so that you specifically gain power versus just your ideals,
mm-hmm.
you have become corrupt.
Yeah.
You know, this was a partisan maneuver. This wasn't, you know, I mean, I guess, for example, I'm pro-choice. And
mm-hmm.
so I like when they're able to finally fund Planned
mm-hmm.
Parenthood. But I wouldn't consider it reprehensible if they don't
mm-hmm.
on a political on a political perspective.
Right.
Whereas if they're specifically cutting funding from the unions
mm-hmm.
from a political perspective, what they're doing is they're actually making themselves have more power so that they can continue in office, which seems
mm-hmm.
wrong to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, that day was the day that they stripped the bill of all the fiscal things. And if you ask me, it was a smart move because then they switched the news, you know, they
mm-hmm.
changed the news cycle. It wasn't about Jeff Fitzgerald admitting.
Sure.
It was about them trying to pass.
Mm.
And, you know, it was a Wednesday that they did this. I skipped Midrashah to go down and just scream and yell and protest. And Peter
Barker.
This
is the day that it went through.
This is the day it went through committee, yeah.
Yeah.
And Peter Barco was amazing. I mean, he stood up and they voted, while he was speaking. He was the only Democrat there because all the Democratic senators were gone. This was the Joint
right.
Conference Committee to reconcile the 2 bills.
Right.
He was the ranking Democrat on the committee. He was the, you know, Assembly Minority Leader or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But he was standing up there saying, "This is a violation of the open meetings law. This isn't some, you know, protocol. You're violating the law, Governor, you know, Mr. Speaker, you're violating the law. Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker, you're violating the law." And he just repeated. And they voted while he's screaming over his vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that video is moving.
Yeah.
You know, you
mm-hmm.
watch that video and it's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, I'm taking a long time to
Go
say
on.
Everything. But
I have 3 hours.
Oh, really?
Just keep going.
Okay. So, you know, obviously,
yeah.
you know, the next steps were harsher. It passed the Assembly, and then it went back to the Senate,
mm-hmm.
and it passed the Senate. There was one senator, Dale Schultz, who voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I had one Republican. Actually, he was the only one who voted against it, because
mm-hmm.
the Democrats were still out of state.
Right.
And that Saturday, after it passed the Senate Democrats came home.
Right.
And they were greeted with, you know, cheers and
sure.
honors, and it was really amazing to see.
Mm-hmm.
But then Governor Walker, he signed the bill into law, And of course, it has to be published in the, you know, then there's this whole publishing thing. Bill has to be published
mm-hmm.
before it can be really declared
mm-hmm.
a law. And it, the Secretary of State is a liberal, Doug La Fallon. So he spent the maximum number of days publishing it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that time, Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk sued the state, asking for an injunction, and
mm-hmm.
Ishmael Lozon, who I actually met just a couple days ago, on a field trip, but
mm-hmm.
he argued against no, for the injunction to stop the bill because it's just ridiculous that they would be able to violate the open meetings law.
Yeah.
And so that's currently in a bunch of litigation, but it sounds like it's all going to go away and the bill will pass,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I guess the reason I brought that up though is because like in both of the two major political events, both the Kloppenburg-Prosser election
mm-hmm.
and the SB 11
mm-hmm.
passing. In both instances, it looked like one side was going to win, and
mm-hmm.
then at the last possible moment, I mean, it already looked like they'd won, and then
right.
the last possible moment, the other side took the lead.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like Walker just passed the bill, and then boom, it
right.
gets stopped by Judge Marianne Soumy.
Right.
It looked like Kloppenburg had won by 200 votes, and then
right.
Kathy Nicholas found
right.
14,000 votes from the most conservative county in the state.
Right.
Which honestly I don't believe
right.
it'll take some time for me to trust her because
yeah.
she's worked for Prosser, she's been
yeah.
investigated 3 times. I'm really proud of Tammy Baldwin for calling for a federal investigation
uh-huh.
Because
uh-huh.
it just doesn't seem right that this
right.
could happen
right.
It was amazing the lack of integrity
mm-hmm.
During the entire election, on both sides, I should be fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've had this 3 times
mm-hmm.
That the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce have spent huge amounts of money for a Supreme Court candidate, both, now it's been Gableman, Ziegler, and now
mm-hmm.
Prosser's re-election, that they've essentially bought their way in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only going to get worse, and the only reason it was even close this time is because we had the Greater Wisconsin Committee, which was basically a group formed out of the protests supporting Justice Joanne Kloppenburg.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, you know, despite attack ads on both sides that were really nasty
mm-hmm.
and huge campaigns that said a vote for Prosser is a vote for Walker,
right.
It looks like Prosser's going to win. And I guess the best thing I can say is that it really energized the Democrats. I guess I never thought I'd say this, but you know, the one good thing Walker did is he made us angry, and we found our coalition again. You know,
right.
originally organized labor had been seen as sort of corrupt, which, granted, it may be, but it's still less. It's something against the partisanship that I think is currently going on in the Wisconsin State Capitol.
Yeah. So, what happens now?
That's a very good question. I think the whole Kloppenburg mess will continue to be in the news. I think more importantly, Democrats need to figure out a way to continue to keep these people motivated.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was good that Sarah Palin showed up the other day because she got drowned out by the liberals. I mean,
right.
if you want to just keep this battle going, keep it going because it's only helping us.
Right.
You know, I think there's already been 2 Republican senators who we've turned in the signatures for recall, both Randy Hopper and Dan Kopenke, including one of them already has a challenger. So I think, first of all, we need to start recalling.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I think there needs to be massive protests against Paul Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly believe his budget, his decimation of Medicaid and Medicare, mere Walker's ideas and ideals, and his bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was an article in the State Journal just the other day about the Janesville sort of being pretty upset with Governor Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it never hurts to just remind them,
mm-hmm.
remind him that he's an elected official.
Right.
We've never had a federal recall, but right now I think most Wisconsin constitutional experts think that that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not necessarily feasible, but it's a possible
mm-hmm.
option.
Right.
I think if we could get some protests against Paul Ryan going on in Janesville,
mm-hmm.
that would be really cool. I think he's such an ideologue, and that he scares me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's where I would say.
Are you ready to lead that protest?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a lot of stuff going on, but I'd be the first to go and
protest. Just takes a leader.
Yeah.
So what do you think is most what will you remember most about all of this?
That's funny. I thought it was really funny when my relatives called and were like, "Are you guys okay? We've heard there's mobs." And we're like, "Nope." But I guess the thing I'll remember most is how polite everyone was.
Hmm.
I mean, no one was upset.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was upset, and no one was openly hostile. I think people were crying, people were screaming, but
mm-hmm.
they weren't just going, like, if Walker had walked out, he would have been booed, but they wouldn't have hit him, they wouldn't have touched him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were nonviolent throughout the whole thing, and I think that's something to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
People knew what they were talking about through the whole thing, and I think that is something to speak
mm-hmm.
of. I guess it's something I'll never forget, in that it was something where I felt like I really had a political voice.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really cool, and that, you know, like, oh my god, you know, there's the guy I see on TV every night, there's, you know, so and so, you know, it was cool to be sort of national news, I guess, also.
For sure. And what do you think future generations can learn from this whole thing?
That you need to vote. You know, I can't tell you how important it is when you're 17 and how much it sucks that you can't vote.
Right.
To watch someone who says, "Oh, I don't care about politics," when they make, you know, barely above the federal minimum poverty level, you know, you better start caring, you know. Or, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable if you look at voting patterns of the poor, how scary it is.
Hmm.
That these how small these votes are.
Yeah.
I think one of the only reasons the Kloppenburg election was so close is because of the threats to Badger care were tied to threats to senior care, because
uh-huh.
elderly tend to vote highly. But you know, I wouldn't say the youth were there enough. I mean, as much
mm-hmm.
as we were here in the Capitol, we didn't vote.
Yeah.
So I guess to future generations, there is no reason you
mm-hmm.
shouldn't vote. No reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very excited to vote
mm-hmm.
In 2012.
Yep.
So.
When do you turn 18?
This November,
yep.
November 4th, Election Day, actually.
Oh my gosh! Wow,
yeah,
that's
on
awesome.
My 15th birthday, Barack Obama was elected, which was really cool.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah. But
cool.
Yeah. So.
Is there anything you haven't shared that you can think of that you want to share?
I think I've really talked it to death. I guess that you can think of that I should.
No, I just wondered if there was anything, you know, maybe at the Capitol or in the protest, that like a remarkable moment or something that really touched you. You talked about the woman in the wheelchair who was talking and to tears.
Yeah.
Was there any memorable moments like that that we haven't touched on?
Yeah, I guess when the firefighters and the police would come in, and of course, I think it was even more moving to see the police, because these are people who had been working all night shifts,
yeah.
and then came in after their shift,
mm-hmm.
holding signs that said "Cops for Labor,"
mm-hmm.
and everybody sort of stopped and just started chanting, you know, "Thank you, thank
oh.
you, thank
mm-hmm.
you," and it was really cool to see how everybody came together, because, you know,
yeah.
obviously police and firefighters, a lot of those groups actually supported Walker.
Mm.
And so, in what I thought was partisan,
mm-hmm.
He exempted them when they
mm-hmm.
wrote the budget repair bill.
Right.
They are allowed to continue with
uh-huh.
their collective bargaining rights, whereas
mm-hmm.
every other public employee can only have the collective bargaining rights on small salary increases tied to the consumer price index. So basically, they can only fight to keep up with inflation,
mm-hmm.
which is just wrong.
How about, how did you feel about when they first came out and they said, oh, it was going to cost millions of dollars to clean up the Capitol?
Oh, that was funny.
And then it got reduced to maybe $1 million, I think,
maybe
and then it was reduced.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
I think it illustrates how bad the Department of Administration's numbers were. I think
yeah.
you gotta, you know, I guess as bad as it sounds, I really start looking at every group that gives me a number about the partisanship, because
mm-hmm.
you know, once you see what the national news media is doing when you are the news,
mm-hmm.
and how off they are,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole palm tree segment,
mm-hmm. yes.
you really see how biased everyone is.
Yes.
You know, they were considered, you know, the Democratic 14 were considered, you know, fleeing maniacs, the protesters were considered violent, crazy people.
Right.
Which I don't think either one of those are true at all.
Right.
But
right.
if I'm in Ohio, what do I know what's going on? Well, obviously there are other protests in Ohio. But if I'm in
right.
Wyoming,
right.
I don't know what's going on.
Right.
And so I guess, you know, it just made me think, like, I have no idea what's going on, you know,
yeah.
in the rest of the country. It made you really wonder what's going on with the news.
Exactly. Yeah. It's an important lesson.
Yeah.
It's all subjective.
Yeah.
To interpretation.
Yeah, definitely.
And a bias, you know. People report on what they want to report on, whatever fits
right.
their needs.
Yeah. I mean, HuffPost took a lot longer to talk about Prosser's lead than
mm-hmm.
New York Times.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Great. Okay.
All right.